is actually another guy in the Bible. You know, it's called two guys in the Bible, but the other guy, you know, when we drew straws, he got the one that took him to Hawaii, and I'm here in Missouri, so yeah. I think I got the better deal, because I get to be here with you guys, and he just gets to be in Hawaii. Who wants to be in Hawaii? But praise God. I do want to mention this real quick. We do have a television program, Christ the Healer television program. Just go to twoguysinthebible.com and check out all the stuff that we offer. As Pastor mentioned, we do a lot of online ministry and teaching, and we lean very heavily towards healing, miracles, and yes, deliverance as well. And so, again, that's just the life of every believer, right? Yeah. But that's kind of the feel that we take. Really, we're faith guys, you know, and that ties into every area of your life. We should be a people of faith, amen? We are a people of faith. And so really, you know, we don't really like to box it into just that, but we do kind of lean that way with healing and miracles, because we understand that that crosses all denominational lines. That crosses, that gets into everybody's life. And so we know that once somebody can experience the power of God on the inside of them, it's not too much of a further step to go ahead and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so we use that as a very good evangelistic tool to minister to folks out there, is that we get to lay hands on them, we get to minister to them, and of course God shows up and heals their bodies, and you can't take that from somebody. You just, boy, when they know that God has touched them in that way. Have you ever been touched by God? I mean, you know, there's just some things that nobody can take from you. You know, they can say what they want to say, and issues can be as they are, but boy, there's just some things when God touches you, you get free, and they can't take that from you. So we lean towards that, and I want to mention this book, 7 Days with a Witch. Don't let the title fool you. It is exactly what it was. 7 days that I spent with the High Witch of the Four Corners. She came to a tent revival to kill me. And, well, you see how that worked out. So, spoiler alert, I'm still here. But this is a love story. You know, when we're, don't let the title fool you. We designed the cover this way to reach the world, and it is. That was the point. I didn't need another Christian book with my face on it doing this. 10 days to a better you. That's not what I want. This is the real deal. This is happening in this town. It's happening in my town. It's happening in every town. And 2 Corinthians tells us we cannot be unaware of the devil's schemes, or he will take advantage of us in that. This book is only about 80-something pages, but it has over 100 scriptures in it. And it's an amazing, true story. And so I want you all to get it. They're $10 back there. I've also got Believer's Authority alongside with that. That's $10 as well. If you buy both of them, I'll make you a deal. You can buy them both for $20. Okay, so there you go. Praise God. But no, that just goes towards the ministry. And but again, this is the High Witch. This was the girl that we delivered from that. But praise God. So please go check that out. And, you know, I really love the word that came forward here through pastor's wife when she began to talk about the example that she gave, that sometimes we can get into that cocoon, right? And the Lord is preparing us, and he puts us in there. We were made for beauty. But the word that I had for you all this morning when the Lord began to minister to me is, it ain't over. Well, I think that's pretty amazing when you begin to look at that, because you can look at an ugly, they're not pretty, ugly cocoon hanging there, and you could think, man, my life's been wrapped up by things of the world. I've been closed off, and things aren't going the way that it should, but it ain't over. And that's what I came to tell you this morning. For all the English majors in the room, I'm sorry, you're going to be very challenged this morning with my preaching, but it ain't over. And that's the way that the Lord said it to me, and that's the way that I'm saying it to you. And it ain't over. And so he's still a restorer. And again, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you have not done. And honestly, I don't care how many times this is, as an evangelist, this is one of my favorite statements when people come up to me, just to let you on the inside of some of the, how our minds work. I love it when people come up to me and they want me to minister to them and pray for them. And they say, well, I've already had hands laid on me by the best. Then why are you up here? Because, hey, my point being this, I don't care how many times you've had hands laid on you, anointed with oil, spit on, prayer cloth thrown at you, how many conventions you've been to, wherever you've been before you got here today, what sins you had, where you've been, it just doesn't matter, because we're here today with a God that loves you right here where you're at. As Pastor said, he loves you right here as you are, but loves you too much to leave you that way this morning. Amen? And so that's the God that we're talking about this morning. He supplies new mercies every day. And so I want you to understand that Jesus is not consulting your past to determine your future this morning. Amen? He's not doing that. He looked at his past and saw that he already secured your future, praise God. And so he's just looking at what he did. So I just wanted to tell you this morning that it ain't over. And whatever that means to you, I'm sure that we'll find that out as we go along this morning. But I want you to look at John chapter 11, because I believe that we are in a season of the miraculous, where I truly believe that God is visiting the church again. And I hope you understand, I'm not talking about this building, and I'm not talking about this congregation. I am talking about where God is going to have divine appointments with you personally. How many times do we look in the Bible, and sometimes I think we miss when we get in a church setting, Jesus was very personable. He was very one-on-one with people, wasn't he? I mean, he would even take people out of town and minister to them all alone, face-to-face. He's still that same Jesus, by the way, that yes, he could be the corporate Jesus, but he's your Jesus. And I think sometimes we get caught up in that, where we miss that he's, yes, he's everybody's Jesus. Yes, he's the Lord over our lives, but he's the Lord over your life, and he loves you today. And I think that sometimes we forget that, but he's visiting the church. And again, I'm not talking about this building, but I believe that he's going to begin to visit us with a miraculous outpouring, as we know the end is getting near. Guess what? It didn't happen in September, did it? And I dare to say it may not happen October 15th either, or whatever else that they're saying. But my point is this: as we do see the end getting closer every day, we're obviously getting closer. So as we see that getting closer, I want you to understand that we will begin to see that miraculous outpouring again upon the earth, with great signs and wonders, where blind eyes are open, deaf ears, lame walking, dead being raised, friends. This is not a far stretch when we're talking about the Jesus Christ that lives on the inside of us. But what I'm talking about is you all. I'm talking about you all now, because you are the church, yes? The greater one lives in you. Right? Not just in this building, right? That's what the whole pouring out of the Holy Spirit was about, is he wanted to get it into the people, right? Where we didn't have to come to a place to find him. Now we are going to them. So when I begin to talk about the miraculous, I'm talking about you, because what will open the eyes of this community? What if you were down at Walmart and on aisle 5 and you saw somebody there and they were in a wheelchair and you laid hands on them and they got out of that wheelchair? People would begin to talk. Yes? This community is like any other community. Everybody, they would know before you got to the stoplight what had happened. If this town is like every other town, they're going to talk about it. Well, my point is we understand that as we get closer to the end, we're going to begin to see these things, because truly that is what that is all about, is drawing people back to Jesus Christ. So I'm not preaching to empty chairs this morning, because in the end, that doesn't matter. I know that those people are out there that do belong in these chairs. And so if they're not here this morning, and I can't talk to them, but I know you will. Obviously, they didn't want to hear what I had to say this morning, and that's all right. But you know them, and you talk to them every day, and they do listen to you. You have a hold of their ear, and they trust you. Some of you are the ones that they come and confide in at work, right? Some of you are the ones that they come and talk to. Some of you are the ones that they Facebook message behind the scenes to toss up a prayer for them when they're in trouble. You already have a hold of them, but now we're going to begin to see that Jesus is going to begin to work through you in ways that you have never experienced before. And I'm talking about the individual today. And I do believe this, that prophecies have been spoken, and I believe it is time for prophecy to be fulfilled. And I'm talking about in connection to you actually choosing to be members or partakers of this particular body. I know that prophecies have been spoken in times past, and you will be the fulfillment of those prophecies in this day. Now, I know that sounds really heavy, doesn't it? Well, it's really not that heavy. When I begin to look at the disciples as they were walking with Jesus, I'm sure there came a time in their life when they stopped and maybe behind Jesus' back and said, "It's us. We're with him. I think it's the Messiah." Yeah, all of a sudden they realize we're walking out prophecies that were prophesied some 900 years later. We're with the fulfillment of that prophecy. Well, guys, prophecy is still having been spoken. You all will be the fulfillment of that prophecy. And it's not a far stretch to say that. So we've seen some of this already, but again, I believe that we are in a season where all I keep hearing is as much as you think you know of God, as much as you have ever experienced of God in the past, you have not seen anything yet. You've not seen anything yet. We've not seen the best. We've not seen the greatest miracle. We've not heard the best sermon preached yet. The best book is yet to be written. Because I think it might come from some of you. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I'm talking about visitations. When I've done great revival history, and when I begin to look back at some of the biggest revivals that have ever taken place, it was never the name brand ministries. Have you ever noticed that? See, sometimes we sit back, and whoever it is that you may follow, you know, if we talk about, it could be, you know, Kenneth Copeland, or it might be Benny Hinn, or, you know, just whatever big names I can imagine in my mind. It seems like sometimes we hold back, you know, maybe it's Joseph Prince, or, you know, we hold back and we see these ministries that maybe are more so in the public eye, and we automatically assume, well, obviously they have the finances and the resources to pull something off like that. Have you ever noticed that is not who God used to ever start a revival? A true revival. It was the nameless, faceless local folks that dared to just step up and say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of not having a revival. So we're just going to have one. And it started inside of the individual, and then it caught on to their neighbor, and then all of a sudden they're having revival. And then out of that, we begin to see some of those larger ministries were born from that. But it didn't start there, nor does it ever require them to do it. It's just you. You have the greater one on the inside of you this morning. Amen. So we're going to have visitations, and I believe that we are going to walk into a season that we are going to have true encounters with Jesus Christ. Now listen, many of you have had an encounter with a Bible, and some folks have had an encounter with a church, but I am talking about the head of the church, Jesus himself, standing face to face with you, having a conversation. When I was in Africa in 2005, long story short, we had called all these ministers in on the very last day. My father-in-law, being a pastor, was going to minister to the pastors. And so we called in. It was just a pastor's meeting. He wanted to speak to the leaders. And I remember all these men walking. Some of them walked for 8 or 9 hours to get to this meeting, to sit in the dirt, to listen to this man from America talk about being a leader and a pastor. And I remember my father-in-law got up there, and as he began to minister, I was standing back and I'm looking at these pastors. Not one Bible. Not one Bible in a group of pastors. And I'm standing there and I'm like, Lord, these are the leaders, the pastors. You know, so in my mind, I'm thinking, how do we get a little thing together to raise money to send them Bibles, you know? And so I pulled this pastor aside, Pastor Jackson, when it was done. I said, can I ask you something? How do you guys preach, right? I mean, you're pastoring churches, people. Yes, we have people. And I said, okay, how do you preach? I didn't see a Bible. I didn't see one Bible. What are you preaching? And he said, he comes to us. I said, who? Jesus. That man stood there and started quoting scripture to me, but it wasn't scripture to him. It was a conversation that they have with Jesus. It wasn't pages and chapters and verses. It was just conversations, but he is quoting me Bible without a Bible. I'm talking about visitation. Where Jesus, is he still speaking to people today? Yes, he is, glory to God. And he will find a way, this book or not, don't take that wrong. It all comes back to the book. If it ain't in the book, forget it. Come on. A lot of cute Christian stuff floating around out there that's, I don't find it in here. It's in First Imaginations. That's where it's at. But it's not in this book. Amen. Come on now. But I'm talking about the one who was the Word made flesh. This book was somebody before it was a book, glory to God. And he's still speaking to people. And he was the Word made flesh and he dwelt among us. And I don't want you to think, not me, and it's never going to happen to me. I'm talking about the Almighty God in which nothing is impossible, including using somebody like you. That's right. And I'm talking about myself standing up here today. If you lived a little closer to the lake area, you would have known my BC life before Christ. I had quite the reputation before Christ around the lake area. It didn't spill out to Lebanon area, thank God, but it's still on Highway 5 if you just go down there. But I'm talking about God using people. And he wants to use you. And you should want to be used by him. Amen? Praise God. So it's time for a resurrection, and I wanted to talk to you this morning about some of you that feel like just maybe some of those things are dead and gone. Maybe some things, my life didn't go. Did you guys notice that once you got born again, it wasn't necessarily unicorns and rainbows? I thought for sure that my life was going to be cotton candy, unicorn, and rainbow, and it was just going to be, well, don't get me wrong, my life is way better with Jesus, but have you had trouble since you've been born again? We're still living this world, don't we? And there's still real life issues as long as we have a flesh body, and as long as we have to deal with other flesh bodies in this world, then we understand that there's going to be, and we know we have an enemy, a real enemy, isn't that right? who indeed we don't have to fear, but at the same time, we do need to be sober and we need to be vigilant. We need to understand that he still is trying to throw a wrench into everything that it is that we're trying to do. And so, again, I don't want us to feel like it is, your life is buried and gone. I just came here to tell you this morning that it ain't over. It ain't over. That's what I kept hearing him say, that nothing is impossible. And so I want someone to understand in here this morning, those cancerous cells, precancerous cells that are in your body, they will disappear this morning in this service. Now, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is, but it is somebody. And I'm going to tell you that those things are going to disappear. And there's a couple of you in here that have been suffering from a broken heart. And I don't mean just on a normal level of boo-hoo me. I'm talking about a broken heart that is a root issue of a lot of the fruit that you're seeing in your life. And he came to heal the brokenhearted. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't over. He's going to heal you this morning. Amen. He's going to touch you this morning. You've been tormented for years, but I want you to understand we do have a bondage breaker in this place. You know how I know? He said, if just two or three of us gather together in his name, here he is. Best I can tell, I'm not the only one that came in here in the name of Jesus this morning. That means he is here. It's not me here, and it's not just you here. Jesus is here. Anytime that we see Jesus on the scene in the Bible, nothing stayed the same. Isn't that right? So that should be your expectation this morning, that as we go through just a little bit further here, I want you to understand that he is here this morning. What could you expect if Jesus truly walked up into your face this morning and had a conversation with you? What would happen in your life? I dare to say you would leave changed. Amen. I would hope that you would. Praise God. But here's the thing, he said, he's going to need us to watch our mouths from here on out. We got a bunch of folks walking around as believers, and we're just saying whatever we want to say. And what I mean about that is we're talking a lot like the world, it seems like sometimes, because we do live in this world, and we understand there's a lot of influences into our life. But again, when I reference back to this book quickly, 7 Days with a Witch, the high witch shared with me some amazing biblical issues that she didn't know were Bible. But they certainly were, because you understand they're just counterfeiting everything that we do. The devil, nothing new, just counterfeiting, repackaging, rebranding, right? Trying to sell the same garbage. But she did say this, I came in and originally would curse towns or curse people. She said, but you know what? I didn't have to keep them going because you all do that with your mouth. She said, all I had to do was just speak a curse, but you all keep it alive by the way that you all are talking. And she's talking about the Christians, talking about how we talk about our towns or talk about ourselves or talk about our situations. And she said, you guys are the ones that are feeding that thing. She said, I don't even have to do that. I don't even have to spend time working up anything against you all. You all do that yourselves. So we got to really watch our mouths. We got to be very careful what it is that we're saying. So 2 Corinthians 2:11 again says, we cannot be ignorant about the devil's schemes or he will take advantage of us in that. So we don't want to be ignorant about those things anymore. But again, I want to be very careful as to what we say in this season, because Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the words of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. We can frame our own world with the words that we're speaking. Amen. Listen, now I know that we don't get into speaking so much anymore because we have Facebook and we have Twitter. And so now I can say things to you that I would never say to your face. But boy, I'm sure going to put it right there. Guess what? It's still the same, my friends. Just because you don't say it to somebody's face. And do you understand that just your words can definitely kill a relationship or help a relationship? Just go ahead and post something controversial on Facebook and sit back for about 2 seconds and you'll find out. Right? Boy, you're going to get it all. So we have to be very careful with what it is that we're doing, because words bring substance into the earth. Your words bring substance into this earth. When God speaks, when we see him speak, he's speaking solutions and not problems, but I don't necessarily hear that in the body of Christ. I hear a lot of doom and gloom preaching taking place in the body of Christ. Well, guess what? Even if the world is going to end October, what's the new date? 15th? Even if it's going to end on October 15th, okay, but what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do in between? Boo-hoo, wow, it's going to end. I don't know. Okay, what if? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? Who are you going to go minister to? Are we all going to get together and cry about it? Or are we going to do something? Because if it truly was ending, then I think we probably better get to work here. I know a whole bunch of people that need to be born again. We probably ought to get moving. But that being said, we've got to be very careful, again, because I hear a lot of the body of Christ not talking about things that are uplifting and encouraging and would dare. We say things that would not make me want to join the church. We say things that would make me not want to serve that Jesus, whoever that guy is that you're talking about. How he's sending hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes, and he killed grandma last month. You want in? And you have to give 10% every Sunday. You want in this? That's a good deal right here. That's all. They're hearing it from the outside, some of the things we say. And I'm sure that they're just thinking, you guys are out of your minds. I can go join the Lions Club or the Elks Club and get treated better than that. Have me some friends up there. So when we hear God speak for the first time recorded in the book of Beginnings, indeed there was a problem. The earth was void. It was out, you know, no form, and darkness was out there. And so when we begin to hear God speak at the very beginning, I love that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and then God said, man, it's dark out here. Isn't that what we do? We restate the obvious problem over and over again, and God never addressed the problem. He wanted to address what's the solution. And so instead of saying, man, it's dark out here, I don't know what. He just said, light be. And what I love about that statement is you have to understand that wrapped up in that statement, he did not say protons, electrons, neutrons, oxygen, quarks, all those things I need to come together. He just said light be, and anything that was going against light not being had to go, and anything that he needed for light to be came into existence, and light still is. And so when I talk about speaking, I'm talking about you saying things that create in this world and things coming together. And God said that the word of God coming out of your mouth is just as powerful as it's coming out of his mouth, because it's his words anyway. And so we've got to begin to speak the word of God. So I want you to understand, you're not just another number. You're not just another human being. You're not just another statistic on the population sign as I drive into Lebanon, Missouri this morning. You are a word that God spoke. Why do you think you're alive today on the earth and not 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years ago? Why are you here now at this spot in life right now? Do you think it was just a romantic encounter between family planning and your parents came together and that's why you're here? You are a word that God spoke because he knew who he would need on the earth at this time, and he said, you. And so you moved, you were always on the mind of God, but then you dropped down into the mouth of God, and he spoke, and the seed came together, and you sat in your mother's womb so that you would be born for right now. It is not a coincidence that you're here. God is looking at you saying, these are the last days, and these are the people that I needed. Who's absent? Smith Wigglesworth's not here.
That's right.
Come on now. T.L. Osborne's not here. Kenneth Hagin's not here. Listen to me. Because you know, we can do this, and I've done this before. When some of the great men of God have passed away over the years, and sometimes we can look back and say, man, we need us another Smith Wigglesworth. We need us another Kenneth Hagin. We need us another, and God said, no, I just need you. Those men had their time. I need you. He needs you operating in what it is that you've been gifted to do in this time. And he wants you to understand that it ain't over. As far as you've come into your life right now and all this issues in your life right now, God is not done with you. He has not written you off, and it is not over. Isaiah 55, as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow, and they do not return, but they water the earth. They bring forth the bud. They give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So shall my word that flows forth from my mouth. It will not return void, but it will accomplish that what I sent it to do. When God saw the earth, again, he knew he wanted you here, and that's when you came into existence. You are a word that is not returning void. You are not done yet, my friends. You have not accomplished what it is that God has for you to accomplish just yet. And so he's got you here for this time. So make no mistake, you sitting there, again, is not just an accident. Nobody sneaks into this world. Spirits don't sneak into the earth. God saw you. He knew that you were going to be here. And he wrote you into this eternal plan to be alive right now to have an impact. Not to just float around and work your jobs and just be, bobbleheads, you know, yes, amen, Lord, or no. He wants us to be the individual that you are, but the individual with Christ on the inside of them. And that makes you very dangerous. Amen. Makes you dangerous, and you should be dangerous. So I need you to watch your mouth, because the currency of the miraculous is sitting right here. You want to see stuff take place? Boy, it's sitting right here. This is our worst enemy. Worst enemy. Mama was right. You better watch your mouth. You'll have what you say. Well, she's right. That's biblical. That's biblical, that we will have what it is that we say. And the power of God, if we want to see it in these last days, you are going to have to line up your words with his words. You're going to have, but see, he's authorized you to do so. He's authorized you to speak on his behalf. That's good news, amen. That means he really does trust you, by the way. I don't know most of you, so I probably wouldn't trust you to speak on my behalf this morning. But I don't know you. You might be really good people, but he knows you. And he's authorized you, amen. So God said, my words do not return void. So when we're sitting here and we don't feel like things are happening, it is because he said his words. So if we're speaking his words, should we not see accomplishments take place? Certainly we should, biblically, if those words are going forth, they do not return void. If you're not getting accomplishments in your life, you might want to check your mouth. I'm just saying, it's an easy math equation to me. If things aren't working, but the Bible always works, then I better work the Bible. I must be working something else if it isn't working. But the currency is sitting right there. That physical breakthrough that some of you need is sitting right here. But you've been talking about the darkness and not the deliverance. Amen. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, the author and the finisher. So an author is a book writer. Isn't that right? An author is a book writer and you're a story that's being read. But what I want you to really know is your story has already been written. Your story has already been written. When God saw you, he wrote that life story out and saw what that expected end of your life was going to be. And so he's written that story. Now the earth is reading your story, but heaven has already finished that story. So back to John 11, I want to talk to you about some of you. You feel like maybe the pathway to the promise has been interrupted. Maybe you feel, are any of you, You've all been there. I know you have. We had certain expectations, certain things that we thought were going to take place in our lives. And then something else comes in there. Something else gets interjected into the middle of my story. I know where God was trying to take me. And man, I just can't seem to bust through this thing. I don't see the promise. I got a handful of problems. And again, something came into the middle of my story. And what happens is the devil tries to give us an alternate ending to the story. That's his plan: steal, kill, and destroy. And he's trying to place something in the middle of the story so that he can change the end of your story. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Your story is written, friends. So those that need free from sickness and disease and pain and broken hearts, again, any of those issues that are going on in our life, maybe you haven't had the final breakthrough. I want you to understand there is a resurrection that can take place right here in the middle of the story, and things can come alive again in your life. Come on, he's the restorer. That means to bring back to normal. Some of you don't even remember what normal's like. I'm talking about his normal. We've settled into the world's normal. Some of us don't even remember what normal's really like. This was supposed to be our life. Some of us maybe never even got close to living that kind of life just yet, but we're about to. So I want you to look at this today. And again, I want you to stick with me because when we're looking in John 11, we know the story of Lazarus. But you know, we're reading out of a book that's not like any other book. Would you agree? This book is alive. And how many of you have done this? I have done it many times. I can read the same scripture 100 times. I can know that scripture. I even know where it falls open in my Bible and where it shows up, right? I mean, you know right where it's at on the page. I can read it 100 times and all of a sudden God leads you to that scripture the 101st time and you read it and all of a sudden you're like, I've never seen that before. It's because it's alive. It's not changing, but its application is changing to you. It's changing you, and you're starting to see things a little different. So I want you to stick with me as we look through this story, because I believe that, again, this is going to apply to our current existence. In John 11, verses 1 through 7, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him who you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, now just take note of this. When Jesus first heard that report, he says something. This sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and he loved Lazarus as well. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. So look at verse 4 here, because again, I'm talking about your story today. Here in this part of the story, a man named Lazarus, all of a sudden we see that something entered into the middle of his life story, didn't it? There's a great sickness that obviously has come into the middle of his life, and it's obviously important enough, dangerous enough, chronic enough, maybe incurable enough, impossible enough, that they're somewhat contemplating this could lead to death soon. I mean, it's an urgent thing here. And I want you to see something, because I love this, that at the very moment this happened and they came to Jesus, Jesus said something immediately. Immediately there was a response from Jesus when he was told about his friend being sick here. He immediately says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified in it." Jesus said something. He instantly put something into the story immediately, because he realizes that ain't part of the story. What you just told me is not the part of my friend's story. Now, it's easy enough for some of us to say, well, sickness and disease, this, that, and the other, whatever happens, happens for a reason. It's God's will. If it was God's will, then why did Jesus continuously go against his Father's will in healing everybody of everything all the time? Shame on you, Jesus. Where was the time that Jesus said, I'm sorry, guys, I can't lay hands on you because, you know, my Father's working something out in you. You're going to learn a lesson through this. Certainly you can learn something through it, but friends, that's not the point here. So I want you to understand, immediately when he hears about this, Jesus could have easily just said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's nothing we can do about it. Good knowing you, brother. God bless you. See you on the other side." And then we can name it all these cute things, a homegoing, a this, a that. He changed addresses, whatever. All these hallmark cute things we say for people dying prematurely, when God doesn't need you up there, by the way. He has that under control right now. Where he does need you is here on the earth right now. Right now, he needs you here. He needs nobody's help up there right now. He needs you here right now. Now, my aunt passed away, and I think that she might be challenging that statement because she knew it all. She might be up there trying to help him now. But he didn't need her up there. He needed her here. Amen. But I love this, because what Jesus was saying was just simply this. Guys, the anticipation of you seeing how this might end, I'm here to tell you it ain't over. And that's the only reason that Jesus inserted that into the story immediately, because they were trying to rewrite the story of this friend's life. Jesus, you've got to come quickly. But now I understand that you've received another report, and I love this, because that didn't catch God off guard, but it does us sometimes. When we receive other reports that come in that we know are totally contrary to the word of God, we freak out. Why, God, why? He told us there would always be two reports. He already warned us that we were going to have two reports, a good one and a bad one. And he said, which one are you going to believe? He said, tell you what, just believe the report of the Lord. There's always going to be two reports. Do not let that rock you. We're always going to have contrary reports to this report. He said, don't, just stick to this one. I found this to be true, that any doctor's report that I've ever received, when I've laid that down on the table and I laid this report down next to it, that one always changed. This one never did. It always said I was healed. It always said I would live and not die. And guess who's still here? Pretty healthy. Because this one is the one that I choose to believe. But not everybody does. And that's the point this morning, is we got to be very careful. We got to watch it, because you will have two reports always. Always going to be something else trying to come in and influence our lives. Don't let that rock you. We knew that it was going to be that way. We're going to be presented with conflicting reports, but make sure that we are sticking to the right one. So they're trying to come and place something else into the middle of this man's story. And Jesus is basically just saying, excuse me, don't forget the report of the Lord. Because here we get to see a Jesus that we don't often get to see. We get to see friend Jesus here. We're not seeing rabbi. We're not seeing teacher. We're not seeing the Son of the Most High God, born of a virgin. He's friend. This is friend Jesus. This is their friend. And Jesus is out doing what Jesus is doing. And they came to him because they felt like they could, because of the level of the relationship. We are friends. Jesus is your friend, by the way. Sometimes it's hard to see him that way, because we do have him lifted up, and maybe we don't treat our own friends maybe the way that we should, with respect. But in the end, I want you to understand, he is your friend. He's not just the one that you come to crawling on all fours, begging for forgiveness and crying and boo-hooing and please, please, please. He's somebody that you can just hang out with and talk and share. And he's not going to judge you for it, because he already knew. Amen. He already knew all of that. But we get to see friend Jesus. And so the sickness is getting worse. And I guess at some point, it's safe enough to say that somebody said, we better go tell Jesus. Lazarus is not doing very well. We've got to go tell Jesus. We've got to get him. And I want you to understand, that is exactly the place that you go when it's not working out, by the way. Now, I know that that sounds like, you know, since we're in here this morning, we're all so spiritual because we are at church this morning and, you know, we've got some things figured out. That seems like an obvious statement, but when the doctor's reports are coming in negative and nasty and your body is screaming and falling apart and you know what? The first place you need to go is not Facebook. Because what have we resorted to? You know where this is going. What have we resorted to today? I'm going to place that my life is basically hell upside down on Facebook. And nowadays, this is what we get? Emoji praying hands? What? Did I miss something? Believers will put forth emoji praying hands in my name and they shall be healed. We have got to stick to the word of God because it still works. My point being, when it's coming in negative and nasty, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Get to Jesus. They understood this. We got to get to Jesus. Somebody's got to go get Jesus right now, because when troubles come, isn't it true? The first place that most folks quit going is church. Have you noticed that? And guys, let me tell you something. Church in and of itself is not the answer. But I'm going to tell you what, when I walk into a room like this, and I hear worship like that, and I see people like you, my odds have gone way up in finding Jesus in this room than it has out there. Come on now. And what I love is that at any time, it could be the greeter at the door that caught you and laid hands on you. It could have been pastor's wife getting a word. It could have just been through worship, and they didn't even know it, and you got healed. My point is, boy, your odds go way up when you walk into this place. Amen. So don't ever, listen, as bad as it ever gets, get here. We used to tell people this when we were holding tent revivals. Man, if you drink and you smoke and you do all that, bring your beer cooler and sit right in the back and go for it, but just be here. Right. Where else are they supposed to be? We wanted them to come. Get in here. We want you here. If you're going to smoke, stay in the back, please, but we want you here. And every single time he'd knock them right off that beer cooler. Amen. Come on now, that's the truth. But boy, it doesn't feel that way. You got to get to this place, amen, where people can minister to you. So the sisters go and tell him, and I'm sure they're thinking, because of the level of the relationship, we are friends with Jesus. He's been over there eating Martha's biscuits. Come on, he's been at dinner with us before. We are friends with this man. So even beyond him being the Most High here, we're going to go tell Jesus because of the relationship. Certainly Jesus will drop everything that he's doing, and he will come and minister to Lazarus, because, I mean, hey, we see that in the Bible, total strangers, and Jesus just stops everything. It didn't quite go that way. But wait, we're friends, Jesus. No, I'm not just nobody here. We're friends. Certainly Jesus will stop whatever he's doing and he's going to come running. Now watch this, because that's what we would expect. He's going to just drop it and he's going to come immediately. So they tell Jesus, and instead of him running to his friend, he says, well, this sickness is, we can make him the real religious Jesus. Well, this sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God, the Father, you know. They're just like, imagine Jesus, they're coming to him in a panic. Jesus, we've got an issue here. We need you to go. This is serious. The sickness is not unto death, for the glory of God, that the Son may be glorified in it. Okay, but now can we go? Because they sent me to get you, and you always come. You always come for these other people, and these are your friends, Jesus, so let's go. Have you ever felt that way? Jesus, I've been in this a long time now. We qualify it, right? Now, I've been wiping baby butts for 10 years, Jesus. Now, come on Sunday mornings now. You owe me something here. Now, Jesus, when I say, now we gotta, come on, we have done that. We've all done that. Now, Jesus, this is serious. Now listen, I need you. But here's the issue with that. It's not that Jesus won't do that. It's not that Jesus doesn't have a plan there. We get things locked into our minds of how we believe it's just gonna go. See, they've seen Jesus just, he went, man. He went, he went. When strangers came, man, I mean, Jesus is like, let's go. We were going this way, now we're going this way. Now here's your friends, and they came, and they're like, okay, let's go. Let's go, Jesus, chop, 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 let's go. Because, I mean, we're friends here. The level of the relationship here. And this is where millions of people are today in a crisis situation, and we send a word to Jesus. And man, why didn't a dog walk up to my door with a brown paper bag full of money, Jesus? Because you know I need some money. I need some finances, Jesus. And I mean, come on. Chop, chop, where's it at? I check the mailbox every day, where's the check? Right? I mean, we get things in our mind of how it's supposed to go. Jesus, now I know that I should just be healed just standing here right now, just poof, boom, done. Just whatever it is you got to do here, Jesus. And again, I'm not, you already know where I stand on healing. But we get things locked into our mind of exactly how it's going to go, like we're going to tell Jesus how he's going to do it. It's easy for me to say that up here as a minister because I've had people come up and just tell me how it was that I was going to do what it is that they believe that God told them that I was going to do for them. Oh, is that right? Because I don't have any. So like a good example, I could get up here and say, you know what, today I feel like the Lord is just telling me we're not going to lay hands on anybody. We're just going to say the name of Jesus. And I guarantee you 5 of you will come up and say, well, I just wanted you to lay hands on me. But he said, he's got something in mind here, guys. So we do this and I know this is kind of thin ice with some folks, but we have this plan and we think that it ought to just go the way that we believe that it ought to go. And I'm going to tell you right now, we need to drop all preconceived ideas of how you think this baby's going to happen. We have never been in this time of history before, have we? You've never been at this point in your life before. How do we know how it's going to go? Now, certainly within the parameters of the Bible, we understand that, yes, it's going to go this way. But boy, that's a lot of wiggle room there in the ways that maybe you think it's going to go and maybe the plans that he has, because maybe you didn't read that page. Maybe you didn't see that one. And maybe you never read this one either. And there's some things that he's done that you ain't never even seen yet. And so we get just boxed into maybe just one thing because it's what's most comfortable to us. And maybe that's not his plan at all. Isn't that right? Come on now. Usually when we want to get ministered to, none of you in here today would have a problem with me laying hands on you, right? What if I said, we're having a spitting line today? Did he not heal people by spitting on them? What if I said, we're having a spitting line? Suddenly everybody's healed and they're like, I'm good. I'm out. Pastor, I need some dirt. I'm going to make some mud with my spit and we're going to get people healed today. We're good. Healthiest church in Lebanon right here. But we get preconceived ideas, right? That's why Jesus took that man out of town, because he knew if I stand here and do this, you'd run Jesus out of your church if he did that. Woo, you know you would. We need the ushers up here right now. This man is spitting. I'm spitting a little, but it's not on purpose. I don't know if you'll get healed by that, but that's my point, right? We just get things locked in. They're thinking, we're friends, Jesus, let's go. And he loved them so much, he stayed 2 more days. What? Because of the level of the relationship, you love him so much, you stayed 2 more days? You know that bad is going to worse, and we're friends, and you're not moving and doing what it is that I... He goes into great detail of the level of the relationship after he tells them, I'm not coming. Now, I want to jump ahead in the story and kind of give a small spoiler alert. Overall, the reason Jesus did not move the very first time is revealed when he shows up and he says to one of the women, I don't remember which one it was, if it was Mary or Martha, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? What was he saying? We've already had a discussion about this before. You didn't need me to come. You could have done it. Yes. He was just trying to remind them that, guys, we've already discussed this. You didn't even need me to show up. I said, if you would believe, you would have seen the glory of God right here. If any one of them would have said, in the name of Jesus, get that out of the way and you get out of there. Guys, we have been authorized to do that. So that was just a side note. But what kind of friend knows that somebody's about to die and you ask while it's still correctable and he doesn't show up? You're waiting, and I've had these issues before, Lord, and you know, come on, let's be honest. Where you at, Lord? Come on, you know what's going on. Jesus knows we're friends. He knows what's going on. Last year it wasn't as bad as it is right now. Where you been? What's going on? The doctors, I mean, they're saying it's getting worse and worse, and I know you love me and I love you, Jesus, but we begin to box him in on how it is that we think that he's going to do something for you. And what I think that sometimes we miss, we've gotten, and again, this is just from me speaking from an evangelist point of view, traveling through churches and getting to know people and just seeing how people operate. Sometimes we forget the integrity of the word of God. And what I mean is, we want the methods, not that they're unbiblical. Laying on of hands is totally biblical. Anointing with oil, get the elders, pray the prayer of faith, totally biblical. Handkerchiefs and aprons taken from Paul's body, laid upon the sick, totally biblical. Any of those methods that we can see that Jesus, that's sure, those methods are totally biblical. But what if he's not doing any of those methods? Because he didn't do all those all the time, right? In the end, it feels like sometimes that we can say, because we've seen the methods, we forget that we have healing right here. Just right here in the book about what it is that he says about you. There's healing right here. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. My son, pay attention to my word. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health, or Hebrew says, medicine to your flesh. What is this? Medicine to your flesh, not just your spirit, man.
That's right.
I sent my word and I healed them and I delivered them. He sent his mighty angels, know the word. I sent the word and I healed them and I delivered them from their destruction. My point is this, that is how this story went. They were looking for the method. Surely Jesus is gonna come strutting in his robe with his boys. What's up, where's Lazarus? Everybody get out of the way. You guys ready? You guys ready? Move that stone! We've become such Hollywood-minded, we think everything's gotta be this. And God's just over here going, hey, this. Hey, if you just do this. Because that's what they were expecting, is that Jesus was going to roll up on the scene and just, he's going to heal him. I mean, he's going to arise and he's going to be healed and we're all going to celebrate. And Jesus didn't come. And they're sitting there wondering, and that is a very frustrating place to be in your life, yes? Very frustrating. Very, very frustrating place. Our friend sleeps, John 11, but I go to wake him. First thing, the sickness is not unto death. Our friend sleeps, and in verse 14, it says Lazarus is dead. Now, wait a minute, you just said, but now he's dead. What do you do when you get to that point in your life where you know that every single thing that is happening in your life is totally contrary to what it is that you know the word says? Have you been there? The truth is we've all been at that point at some time or another where everything that is happening in my life is totally contrary to what I, pastor said that and my life is totally opposite. That man prophesied over me and my life has gone to hell in a handbasket since then. That minister laid hands on me and said I was healed, but the doctor says I'm gonna die. The lump's getting bigger. The pain is getting worse. I want you to see this because right in the middle of this going totally opposite and all these issues taking place, exact opposite, and it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, Jesus said something else. Then he says, and I'm glad it happened. What kind of friend is this guy? I'm glad he's dead. Jeez. You can think that, Jesus. Don't say it. He says, I'm glad that he's dead. Jesus was saying, I am glad that bad went to absolutely the worst that it could be. I mean, on the outside, that's what it seems like he's saying. You're glad that this happened? Now listen, let me say this to you right now. Don't you ever form your theology in the middle of a crisis.
That's right.
You better have some things already figured out right now before you ever find yourself in trouble. Don't you wait till you get in the middle of trouble and then start trying to make up some stuff. That's when people make up all kinds of crazy stuff that's not biblical. You better have some stuff settled in you right now so that you can believe. He says, I'm glad that it happened so that you may believe. Believe what? He's dead. What? Believe what? You said something and he's dead. What do you want us to believe here, Jesus? So when we're in the middle of this, this is very important in any crisis situation that, again, when everything that I know is not lining up to what Jesus said, and, pastor said I was going to be healed and the tumor got bigger. And that prophet got up there and said, if I send in my $333, that's triple Trinity, glory to God, you'll be blessed. See, I get to pick on that stuff too because I'm a televangelist, so I can pick on some of that garbage that people say. Send in $333, you're going to be blessed. I got a little clue for you. You're already blessed.
Amen.
And you can't buy a miracle anyway because you can't afford one.
Right.
Look what it took to get it. Somebody had to die. So that's my thing on that. But I thought the preacher said I was going to be healed, and the doctor's report in the Bible says I'm going to live and not die, and the doctor says I'm going to die. Jesus said, I'm glad that bad went to worse, and it's gotten as bad as that it can get, and I'm glad that he's dead so that you would believe. And believe what? And usually all believing is out the window at that point. When it's gotten just as bad, usually our belief is gone. And believe what? And this is where I want you to be very careful. And I want you to understand God did not kill this man like he had something to prove. Jesus needed no setup miracles. Plenty of issues going on that Jesus didn't have to create issues to make his point, okay? A sickness got into this man's life and he's dead now. That's it. Jesus is there and he's going to come do something about it. So don't put too much more into that than what's going on. And Jesus didn't kill this man, but I do want you to understand God will use this story, and he's going to use this story right in the middle of it. So when what Jesus says isn't lining up to what happened, and it seems like it's gotten worse, and God made a promise, and now what? Things aren't going my way, and so now what's going to take place? Because, you know, you all agree, it's easy to pray when you get you a word from God, right? Easy to pray when you got you a word from God. Easy to believe after you've seen the word of God come to pass and you're looking back. How hard is it to believe in the middle of a word from God when things don't seem to be lining up? It's awesome to leave here this morning with a word, and I was encouraged, and I think it's coming. But then we get into the middle of that story and everything else just seems to not be lining up. That's the time that is we've really got to focus on. What is it? Because this is the key to the entire thing that I'm saying to you today. When I say that it ain't over, it's because Jesus actually did do something at the beginning of the story. He said something. Because Jesus is the author and the finisher. He saw the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. So when he says you're blessed and you don't have two nickels to rub together, it ain't over. And when he says you're healed by my stripes and you got a tumor right now, guess what? It ain't over. The story isn't over, friends. He said something in the very beginning. He put forth his word to establish the end of the story. And he's saying, guys, I'm glad he's dead so that you may believe. Believe what? I want you to believe the way that I started the story when I said, this will not end in death. Just because he's dead, who says it's over? And so just because somebody's come along and told you it's incurable, who says? I know what they said. There's always a they. I don't know who they are, but they hold a lot of power, it seems like. What about what he said? Has God not spoken over you? Has God not placed even just the most in general promises in the Bible that include you whosoever? And then in your life whatsoever? That's you.
That's right.
So even if you don't find your name in the book, you're certainly a whosoever. And whatever the issue is a whatsoever, and he's promised to heal any of that if you would believe, and that's all that he's saying is I'm glad that it happened, because I already told you it wasn't going to end that way. It may have happened that way, but who are they to say it gets to end that way? Don't you ever let a doctor's words be your last words. We got us a great physician. So don't ever allow the doctor's words to be your last words. But can you still pray in the middle? Can you still believe? And, you know, those guys had to march around that wall, and they had to keep marching around that wall. And what did he require of them? You keep your mouth shut while you march around that wall, because I don't need you speaking other stuff in the middle of that march. And they were in the middle of that thing. If that story was up to us, we just want to walk up and the walls are going to fall, man. But hey, you know what? He said, you're going to march it out. You're going to walk it out. But in the end, they did say something and they shouted. And it caused those walls to come down. And so, again, when these things aren't going the way that we thought, and Jesus is just reminding them, I want you to believe at the beginning of the story. And so will you stand and believe what was spoken over you, or are you surrendering the promises of God in your life? Just because of issues in the middle of your story here. He wants you to go all the way back to the beginning of your story. And remember, some of you in this room have had mighty prophecies spoken over you in the past. Even as children, some of you have had prophecies spoken over you. And you surrendered that somewhere. Some of you had little old, I was from a Baptist church. So we had the little old lady Baptist women. It's a 70 and over club in that church that we used to go to when I was a little boy. And those little old, even the little old Baptist women would prophesy into my little old life back then. And I'm standing here today, the fulfillment of that prophecy. But a whole bunch happened in the middle of my story that certainly could have looked otherwise. Many of you have had words spoken over you, and now you're thinking because of age and occupation, financial situations, earthly situations and diseases and divorces and troubles, and you think that's somehow going to change the story that God has for you. Certainly that chapter there is not the best. But I can also flip the page and understand that it is written.
Right.
It's already written. And I don't have to allow that chapter to ruin the end of my story. He's already said something to you. So when we see in the Bible, a man comes, the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, comes. And he comes and he says, listen, my daughter is at the point of death. I need you to come and lay hands on her and heal her. What did Jesus say right away? I will come and heal her. First words out of Jesus' mouth, I will come and heal her. We understand how the story goes, right? In Mark 5, they're going along and all of a sudden a woman with an issue of blood stops the, because, right? I mean, isn't that our lives? I got Jesus coming. Come on, Jesus, come with me. I'll come. And we put that out there and I got Jesus coming. And it seems like it's moving along, right? We got us a belief. Jesus is coming with me. I mean, Jairus is leading the parade, man. He's like, I got Jesus is coming with me. He's going to come heal my daughter because he said so. And nobody doubted that. They're all coming to watch him heal this woman, this girl. And isn't that how our lives are, man? We're going along, but all of a sudden a woman with an issue of blood comes right in and stops the entire parade. And you know that Jairus out front's going, we ain't got time for that. I had him first. we were heading in the right direction here, Jesus. Let's go. Let's go. And this woman comes in, and now all of a sudden in the middle of that miracle story, what happens? They come to Jairus and they say what? Do not bother the master. Your daughter is dead. That'll mess you up. I had Jesus on the way and something stopped my miracle. Did it? Because what were Jesus' first words to the man? Don't you doubt, only believe. Believe what? Believe what I said at the beginning of the story when I said, I will come and heal her because it ain't over. It ain't over. The world can try to bury it, try to put it under and tell you don't bother the master. They're going to try to tell you, guys, it's too far gone. It's over. It's incurable. The doctors are whispering in the corner. It ain't over. You've got to go back and hold on to the word of God and what he said. Jesus rolled right up into that room and rose that little girl from the dead. Because it ain't over. So when we see him come to the tomb, and I just think this is amazing. We know that as he gets to the tomb here, and again, we've got to be friend enough with Jesus that when he speaks to you, you know he means it. He said what he meant and he meant what he said. Amen? You need to be friend enough with Jesus that when he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And we need to really begin to have that trust in the word of God that if I read this book and it says it, then so be it. That's just a done deal right there. And whatever happens in between, if that's not what is lining up to the word, then let's change that because the word won't change. And let's get back into that book, right? Let's get back in there because I know many of you are thinking, well, Jesus, he's never spoken to me. I've never had a, you know, but again, being a minister, you got a word for me, brother? You got a word for me? Can I just say this? If I had a word for you, I'll tell you. So you don't come up to me today and say, you got a word for me, brother? Well, I got a whole book of them for you right here. Well, I've never heard God speak to me audibly. Then read it out loud. Because this is the voice of God speaking to you today. Amen. Come on now. Amen. This is him speaking to you. Read it out loud. You'll hear the voice of God. Praise God. So he's sick. There's no medical help. But Jesus begins to show us the authority of the word because he said this. I'm going to stay here, but I'm going to send myself ahead of myself. Right? He is the word. So Jesus sends himself ahead of himself. And he says, this sickness is not unto death. And the Bible says in Psalms that his words run very swiftly. And when God speaks, they don't walk. Those words run. So that's why when a centurion servant came and he was seeking healing for that servant, or the centurion came and sought healing for the servant, Jesus said, I'll just speak a word. And those words were so quick that when the man got back home, they said he was healed. Well, when was he healed? Well, it was the exact same time that Jesus said. And those words beat him home. And rose a man up that he never even met. That's how powerful your words are when you're speaking God's word. Powerful. So I was contacted by a woman that watches our TV program. She lives in Pennsylvania. We administered to this woman, it would have been a couple years ago now. Her daughter was dying of cancer. Her adult daughter was dying of cancer. And this lady contacted me from Pennsylvania. We prayed at that time. Her daughter went through treatment, responded very well, and seemed to be doing very good. We get a phone call just this last year from the same mother, and obviously she's just driving home from the hospital. I get the voicemail, and she's crying, and she's saying, Don, my daughter is going to die. The cancer came back, And this time when it came back, as they usually do say, medically, it comes back worse, right? I guess that seems to be the common theme. Dawn, it's in her liver, it's in her brain, it's in her spine. She's not going to make it. And so she's crying on the phone, "I need you to call me. I need you to call me. We've got to pray for my daughter." And so the weirdest thing, now I will pray if I'm the one that's supposed to call them back, or Dion or mom, or I'm going to pray and have somebody in our team call them back. Now this woman, I mean, this is serious, man. She's saying, listen, she's going to die. The doctors are saying this is over. They can't even treat this one. It is over. And I waited 2 days to call her back. And I just thought that was a weird thing even of myself, because at least I would have somebody call her right back. At least, I mean, this woman's hurting, man. Let's get a hold of her. And I remember struggling for 2 days trying to pawn it off on somebody else. Being honest, I'm busy, right? Well, somebody else can call her. I mean, we've all got it. And the Lord kept telling me, you're going to call her back. But here's the cool thing. Because again, we get these preconceived ideas. So 2 days later, I call this woman back. And I said, here's what we're going to do. She told me again, all the reports, she's going to die. It's in her liver, it's in her brain, it's in her spine. It's over, she's got two children. You know, as bad as you want to paint the picture, it's bad. The doctor said to her, go cash in your life insurance policy if you have one. Get your family and go do something that you want to do right now. You won't see the new year. So go enjoy life. Go do something. Just go live, because you don't have long. So the mother and I said, you know what? We're not going to pray. We're going to command and we're going to demand some things to be done. And you know, there's a time to pray and there's a time to say. There's a time to petition the Father, but there's a time to stand in your authority and your boldness and speak forth the word of God. And so I called this woman and I said, man, we are not going to pray. We are going to command that man. We bound and we loosed and we commanded that cancer to die in the name of Jesus. And then I said this, you live near your daughter? Yeah. I said, then you go find her right now. I said, you can go to her home? Sure. But I think she's at the doctor. And I said, well, listen, I said, you go find her and you tell her today you were healed of cancer. Today. You go tell her that I said today she is healed of cancer. Will you do it? Yes, I'll do it. Well, I get a phone call, an email, not quite a week later. And it's the daughter. Don, this is Vicky. I need to talk to you. Well, now in the meantime, the mother's calling me. Don, we got us a real life miracle here. I need to talk to you. We got us a real life miracle. I call the daughter back and she says, what you and mom didn't know. I went back to the doctor because they're going to get me on some meds to get rid of I'm nauseous. So I can live out my days pain-free and die. That just doesn't even sound right, does it? But isn't that what, that's all they had. She said, but Don, what you don't understand is you waited 2 days to call my mom. I'm sitting at the doctor's office in the gown, delayed. The doctor's late. He's 2 hours late. He's late, and at the very moment that you are commanding and demanding and binding and loosing, I'm sitting there waiting to go in to get scans so they can find out what they want to do to extend my life a little bit. She said, Don, I was healed before I walked in the door. Because of what we did while she was sitting right there delayed, we thought delayed, God was ministering to her right then at that time so that when she went in, so when it was a couple days later, the doctor called her back and he said, I've had to call in, 9 other doctors to look at this because you were a dead woman and we can't find cancer in your body today. No cancer. His words are powerful. I've never met this woman. She lives in Pennsylvania. Vicky from Pennsylvania at the Pennsylvania Hospital. Guys, his words are powerful. So when he comes up here, and I love this. So when he gets up here to Lazarus, or he gets to the sisters, I love this because one word can change everything. Jesus said this sickness is not unto death. And when he spoke that, I want you to understand, those words went straight to the tomb. That's right. It didn't catch Lazarus in the middle, did it? Those words went straight to the tomb. He knew he was going to speak straight to the end of the story where they were going to try to put him. Because the world isn't going to agree with you. They're going to try to put you at the end of their story. And he knew, I'm going to send a word straight to the end of that story. And those words were sitting in there waiting for a dead body to show up. They were waiting. So I want you to understand, he already sees the end of this story, even as bad as you think it's gotten. He's already sent a word to the end of your story right now, and it's waiting, sitting there waiting. But watch this, waiting in that tomb for the body. So he's approached by Martha, and she said, Lord, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. Where were you? Come on, we've done that. If you would have, then this wouldn't have, but you didn't, and so it did. And she's pointing the finger at him. If you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And so they were too locked into the method, and they thought that he should have used it, but you didn't do that, and so now he's dead. You waited too long, Jesus. He's dead. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And she said, well, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection. We get so spiritual. Oh, I know, Jesus, he's going to rise again in the resurrection. And what did Jesus say? He said, excuse me, I am the resurrection. And I am the, it's not a single event, my friends. He is the resurrection. Where does he live? On the inside of you. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power when he raised Christ from the dead? That's a power, that's resurrection power working in you. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. He said, I am the resurrection. What do you mean he's going to rise again someday? I am resurrection. I am life. And he said, and if you believe this, you'll never die. So I want you to identify some things in your life that you think are dead and gone that you believe that Jesus could probably raise up again. Don't you think he could today? Don't you think that he could send one word? I bet you he's already sent a word. And I bet today if we just activated that on the inside of you like he's about to do with them, I bet things are going to change in your life today. Even though you think that they're dead and gone and over. And so he said, you're looking at the resurrection. Now Martha came out and Mary stayed behind because she had some attitude. She's mad too. No, she was. She was hurt. I'm not going out there. You go out there. I don't want nothing to... He made me mad. We're friends and he didn't come and our brother is dead. Have you ever been mad at Jesus? Don't raise your hand. Just smile. I know you have. We all have. And so he didn't come. And so I like this because he asked for Mary. And in John 11 and 32, it says that when Mary approached, she fell down. Did you notice there was a difference? Now, one came, Martha came, but this one specifically talked about how Mary came and she knelt down or got down there before Jesus and fell down. And she said, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Same thing, same thing. Why didn't you do what you said you were going to do? And she came and fell before him. But in some texts, I want you to know this, Mary means rebellion. So when rebellion bowed down. Check this out now, that thing that's on the inside of you that wants to be in control and you think you got it going on and you think you got the answer, I'm going to tell you what, when you come and fall before Jesus, it's over. In a good way, it's over. She had it all figured out. She was mad. He had to call for her. You tell her to come out here. And when she came and she fell down. Now watch what this did. Watch what this did. I love this because he stood in front of Martha, right? Both came in with the same attitude, the same. They were saying the same things. One was standing there, but the other fell down in front of him out of reverence or out of worship, even though she was mad. But watch what she did. It was that posture that when she bowed down there, I mean, that's a very, that's not a comfortable position to be in. Am I right? I mean, that's vulnerable when you're down there and your head's down and you're, and so I want the praise and worship team to go ahead and come up here and get ready for something because we're going to do something here in a minute. So watch this now. Martha came and he gave Martha the revelation, didn't he? He said, I am the resurrection. I am the. He revealed something to her. But watch what he did with Mary. When Mary came and fell down in worship in front of him, he gave her the activation. See, he didn't say so. He said this to her. Where have you laid him? We will go there. He gave her the activation. That's what moved him. It wasn't that the spiritual one that knew he'll rise again in the resurrection. She had the biblical knowledge about the deal, and that's fine. She got the revelation. This one got the activation. We need some activation. We need some things to take place in our life. Where have you laid him? So when you all are sitting in here today and you feel like the world has marked something in your life dead and gone and a stone has been rolled in front of it and it's over, Jesus said, because you have the heart to worship me in the middle of it. It takes faith to worship him when you're going through something, doesn't it? It takes faith to worship Jesus when you're upset and my life ain't going the way that it's supposed to go. It takes faith to do that, but he's going to ask you, where have we laid that this morning? Where have we laid that this morning? Show me where you buried the dream and your hope, because I'm about to show you the authority of the word. And I love this because Jesus spoke the end from the beginning. And so again, the devil's going to try to rewrite the story, but we're not going to let him do that. And so I love this. He comes there and he finds the stone that's laid in front of it. And the word stone in the Greek translated into Hebrew means tablet or law. The law had already sealed his fate, right? This is Old Testament. Jesus hasn't died yet. We call it New Testament. But they said this, by law, 4 days, they're dead. Dead and gone, dead. 4 days, he's long gone. They all agreed on it. It's over. But what the law didn't know is that grace had already spoken. And so before the law was able to seal that off, grace had already gotten in there. But see, in order for grace to work, you had to remove what was going to block the miracle so that that could come forth. And then he spoke into that thing. And since he had already spoken, even though you thought he was dead and dying 4 days and he stinks, he's already spoken a word in your life to preserve it. And that man came walking out alive because he had already spoke. And you know what? Well, I didn't get it on the first round. That's all right. It was a cave. There was an echo. It's coming. It's coming. If it didn't get you the first time, it's going to get you the second time. But he already placed a word at the beginning of the story to preserve whatever it was that the world. Do you think he brought you this far to roll a stone in front of you and leave you for dead today? Brought you this far? What a cruel joke to bring you this far in life to drop you for dead now. To roll a stone in front of it and you're just going to be a church member from here on out. Be here Sunday and the rest of your life is hell. That is not the Christian life, my friends. He has something for you that he has already spoken forth. And today we're going to activate it as they begin to worship. We're going to worship with them. You want ministered to, you're going to come down here. And what we're going to do today is we're going to activate the faith that is on the inside of you to remove the stone and see your miracle come right out of your body today. Come on now, listen. He loves you. Guys, Jesus is not tolerating you. He loves you. He loved this man. The Bible talks about the relationship. He loved this man. Jesus wept because of this. He's a caring Jesus. But beyond that, he is a powerful Jesus. And he is your Jesus. Amen? So I want you to come down here as they're worshiping. I want you to begin to worship. And in the middle of whatever you're going through here, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it is that you are in the middle of your life story with that is not right, I want you to come down here and just worship for a moment. I'm going to be led by God, and we're going to minister to you. We're going to get the stone out of the way. We're going to see it come forth this morning. Amen. Amen. So join me in worship this morning. Go ahead, guys.